accommodating.
I like it.
I even offer you some coffee, but I'm too lazy to go get it.
It's all right. Yeah. It's my second one, and I shouldn't have gotten it.
All right, DK, gotta get a check.
Check, check, check. Test, test, test. 1, 2, 1, 2.
All right, Tom.
Check, check.
Can you hear him? It's good, right?
Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect. Yeah, you guys are good.
He basically said we were good based on that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's...
I really thought I could fool him. Like, he would only hear through the phones and not in the room.
You had me going.
I see the waves. I see the waves.
Joining me on the podcast today is comedian Tom Papa, who is performing at Cobb's Comedy Club tonight, a Friday. What's the date today? The 12th?
Yeah. Yes,
April,
it's the 12th.
April 12th, and tomorrow, Saturday the 13th as well. Welcome to town.
Thank you. Thanks for
having
me.
Excited to have you. Just
Saturday the 13th, not as scary as Friday.
As Friday. however, you just scared the shit out of me when I walked in and we started chatting. You told me this really grim story about someone, a comedian dying on stage, which is horrible news. But now I'm like, don't die on me right now, okay?
No, I don't want to die.
Okay.
I don't want to die doing a radio.
A podcast interview for
the
radio.
No.
Yeah, what a shitty way to go.
Yeah. I mean, dying on stage isn't that great either.
Well, at least you die doing what you love.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you just hate being a comedian and you just happen to be good at it.
What happens if I start to love this interview and then die? Then I would be
satisfied. Well, hey, then you know what? We'll put that on your headstone. You'll make me famous. That's so sad.
We thought he was just kidding. And
that's so true, though.
But that's the weird part about it is that the guy died on stage.
Oh.
I think this was in England. And he died on stage, 60 years old. He just sat down on the stool and started breathing heavily. And the audience just started laughing. And then he just stopped moving, and they kept laughing for 5 minutes. They thought it was just a bit. And that's the weird thing about being a comedian. No one ever thinks you're being honest.
Yeah, people don't take you seriously.
No, they don't.
I'll be honest, though. If you stopped if you started breathing slowly and stopped talking at any point during this interview, I'm going to do mouth-to-mouth, okay?
Promises, promises.
Or I'll make Timo do it.
Hey, it's all good. It's Friday. Let's go.
Get me out of here.
Right? Sometimes he does mouth-to-mouth on people that aren't having trouble breathing. So.
Yeah.
Really excited to have you in town for the show. Are you going to do anything while you're here? Or are you just going to do your work and go?
No, I'm actually, I might be doing something very weird today.
Okay, tell me about it.
My opening act, Kira Sultanovich, she's Russian.
Mm-hmm.
She grew up here.
Oh.
And she wants me to go to a banya massage thing where they beat you with sticks. Like you go to this Russian steam bath and then they come out with giant leaves and these women beat you. And she says it's life changing.
It sounds kinky.
It totally
does. You heard about what just happened to Robert Kraft. Are you sure you want to go down that road?
Well, I'm not asking for any. I just want the regular ending.
Whether or not you're asking for it, sounds like this type of place.
The only hitch is it's Friday and clothing is optional.
Oh.
She's like, so you see a lot of things you might not want to see.
A lot of wieners.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, well, I said, well, then I'll just, you know, I'll just wear shorts, I guess. And she's like, well, I don't know, though, because it's traditional not to. And I'm like, well, we have to work the whole weekend together. I don't know if you want to see this.
Oh, wait. So you'd be in there with her?
Yeah. We're going to be.
Yeah.
Like that's right?
Yeah.
That's a pretty, I mean, it's definitely going to. Any sexual tension that exists between us will be over.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's probably the best way to end that workplace kind of.
Unless she's really impressed.
Yeah.
And then it might heighten it.
Well, that's, heighten is the word. Because you want to present yourself in a favorable light,
mm-hmm.
but you're also, when people are beating you with sticks, there's a certain turtle aspect that happens.
It's like jumping into a cold pool. Almost.
Yeah, so you don't want, but you. This is all very complicated. I'll probably just stay home.
No, you should go.
I should think about
that could provide some great new content for your shows.
Yeah, like I want her to know, you know, that I'm in good shape, but I don't want to be in such good shape that I'm becoming a problem at the place.
I have a solution for you.
Okay.
Just wear a fluorescent thong, like a Speedo.
Why fluorescent?
I don't know, because then it adds some comedy to it. Because if you wear like a neutral color or one that just looks normal, it's almost like, is that what he normally wears? But if you go overboard and wear something like with a print on it or fluorescent, it's like you can tell it's intentional, so you're just having fun with the whole thing.
He's just being funny.
Yeah. And everyone else will be entertained by that as well.
Yeah. What if I die there?
Oh, Jesus. You know what? You'll be dead for like 20 minutes because they won't expect you to be moving.
Yeah.
It's not until, well, unless you die right in the beginning of the whatever type of massage.
Right.
So if you die at the beginning, they're going to beat you for 60 minutes. They're going to beat your dead body for 60 minutes.
Have you ever done anything like this? Like the
no, not a like crazy
the rough
massage.
Crazy massage. Me neither. I'm always like the pretty mainstream.
I thought about having someone do the walking on my back massage, where there's actually like a pole on the ceiling.
Yeah,
and they hold onto it. And then they walk on you. But
Korean massage is supposed to be pretty violent.
Is that what it is? Korean, like, they really beat the hell out of me.
She says, you know, the Russians are. She's strong. Kira's. She's beautiful, yeah. But she's tough.
Do you get normal massages typically? Is that like one
once in a while? Not really that often.
So do you get nude for those because you have the blanket over you? Totally nude. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get
And then they put
totally
a little
nude.
Thing, but this you've got to like stand up and run across the room into like a cold plunge and I don't know. It's going to be weird, but you know, that's what I'm going to do.
You know what you should do? You should Instagram live the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or Facebook live.
That sounds like a horrible idea.
Everyone needs to get in on this. Think about it. I mean, what a great documentation of your time in San Francisco.
Just getting beaten and
you're gonna have bruises tomorrow.
Sexually humiliated. It's just gonna be. That's what I was asking. I'm like, I have to do a show tonight. You know, I can't have like, you know, stick marks on my body.
Are you married?
I am.
Okay, so yeah, you'd get home and your wife would be like, "What the hell are these lashes on your back all about?"
Right. Exactly.
What have you been doing?
Yeah, 19 years I've been married, so she probably wouldn't see it for a little while.
Right. At least 2 years. Yeah. Is that what happens after? You know,
no.
Does it gradually slow down when you're married?
It not really.
No.
Not really. You know, we're pretty solid, and we've always paid attention that way.
That's good.
And yeah, I mean, 19 years, and just recently did we go through one period where it was like a longer than like almost a month of not doing anything. And I was telling my friend who's been married the same amount of time, and I'm like, you know, that was kind of weird that we went that long. He's like, that is not weird. I'm like, it is. And he's like, no, I'm telling you, you know, that's a normal amount of time. But I think that you have to pay attention to it and stay engaged that way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's, you know, you have to kind of concentrate on it, or it will kind of die on the vine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I totally agree. I know. I applaud you for that because I've never been married, so I can't speak to it personally. But I have so many, I'm the only one that's not married. So all my friends are talking about how my one friend hasn't had sex with her husband in like 9 months.
Yeah, no.
She said they do other stuff. But I think that's odd. I'm like, enjoy other stuff better than actual normal sex. And I'm like, okay, but even the other stuff doesn't happen more than... Definitely not more than once a month. And I just don't understand that.
I don't either. I mean, why are I could have just got a roommate.
Right?
You know, that's not.
But hey, in San Francisco, sometimes you just need a roommate to help pay the bills and you don't care if there's anything attached.
Yeah, that's true.
People stay in relationships here just because of the cost of living.
New York used to be the most expensive mm-hmm. place to live before you guys beat us out. And that was one of my first good jokes when I was starting as a comic.
Oh,
and
really?
It was about meeting my wife. And I said, I fell in love with her the minute I saw her place. And it was kind of true. It's like, I'm living on this horrible place with a dude and the futon. And I was like, no, I'm going to make this one work.
Did she have her place like all decorated nice? Like you thought, you saw it. Not only was it like a nice place, but you thought, I want to live with this person.
Yes.
Okay.
I was always that way. Like even in college when I lived with a bunch of guys, it was like my corner was like, I just want to live like an adult.
Yeah. Dudes have no clue how to decorate a place.
Or just those small things.
Yeah.
Do you want to get married or was it just not in the cards? Just like being solo?
I would love to get married.
You would?
Yeah. That's a whole so I've been getting this for years because I've been single for a long time.
Sure.
I've dated, but I haven't had like a serious relationship in 10 years.
Oh, wow.
I'm glad we're interviewing me right now.
I'm interested.
I'll get really into this.
You're attractive. You're confident. You're strong.
No, you're very kind.
It's up to you. You know,
it's all up front.
It's totally up to you.
So
you're picky.
I hate that word. See, you said the P word.
I know, but it's true.
No. So it's not picky. I don't pick and choose and disqualify people.
Uh-huh.
For me, it's just a rare combination of things that attracts me.
Right.
So I don't meet someone and go, oh, he doesn't check all these boxes.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what picky is.
Yeah.
I don't disqualify people. It's just, I have to have that feeling of like being intrigued.
Yes.
It's not even so much a physical thing. I have to feel like I have something to learn from someone. Like they have an intelligence about them, a confidence about them, maybe a good sense of humor, or just some way that I connect with them. And I don't find that connection very often. But when I do, I never see it coming. I'm always caught off guard by it.
Right. Well, that's chemistry.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, there is a bit of the, there is, there's a lot of things in your checklist there, though. Like when you kind of map it out.
Yeah, I guess that is a checklist now that you mention it. Yeah. Wow. I feel like I should put my feet up on the couch right now.
You just kind of need, I mean, if you want it, it's totally whether or not you into it or want it.
Yeah, I totally want it. That's the point. I want it. I don't need it.
Yeah.
A lot of people need it. And yeah. So they find a way to make it happen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's one of those things.
I'd say lower your expectations.
Okay. On myself as well.
Yeah.
Does your wife think you're funny?
She does.
She does. That's a good thing.
No, yeah. She does.
Still think. After 19 years?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I could still really make her laugh.
That's awesome.
But also, I'm really funny.
I've heard. Well, which is obviously, yeah. I mean, you're going to be at Cobb's Comedy Club tonight, like we mentioned, and tomorrow.
Yeah.
So where have you been touring lately?
Lately, for some reason, I think maybe my agent was trying to get me to fire him. I was on the Canadian border all winter.
Canada's awesome. They're so nice up
there.
They're
the best. But I was on the U.S. side and cruising along Minneapolis, St. Paul, Bismarck, Bozeman.
Arctic tundra.
Yeah. I mean, like heavy, cold, really, really cold stuff. And Boise. I mean, it was just all in those crazy. It was so intense.
And then you get here today on the most beautiful day of the year so far.
So nice.
Right?
Oh, and coming from LA, it's just like that one little tiny flight. It was just like this. I just feel like I'm home. And I always come here in the spring. Mm-hmm. I'm always coming back to Cobb's around this time of year.
Yeah.
And it's just perfect. This is like the one thing that's dialed in. But my old agent booked this one.
Okay.
it's my new agent who's like, I'm going to send you to the ass end of Minnesota and see if you still want to do
this. Whatever pays the bills, man.
Yeah.
So you came from, did you play the Largo in LA recently? Or was that somewhere you played in the past?
I play it all the time.
All the time. So that's like my favorite venue in Los Angeles. I've only been there twice, and I saw a comedy benefit once there.
Yeah.
I apologize. I can't remember. It wasn't a comedian that put on. It was a TV actress. Uh-huh. But anyways, it was fantastic. And then I've seen some artists perform there, like singer-songwriters.
Yeah.
That is the coolest room
in LA. It's the coolest. It's such a great... It's the Cornet Theater.
Uh-huh.
And it's been there since like the 20s. And like all these like legendary people would come through and perform there and do stuff. And this guy Flanny runs it. And he's such a dialed in, he's an Irish guy who's been living here forever. And he's just so connected with the coolest comedians and the coolest musicians.
Yeah.
And he puts them all together in these shows. And the audiences know it. So they're like cool people that show up.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like heaven. Just before I got up here, my daughter just texted me. She's 16. She's like, I see you're performing at Largo with Jeff Garlin and Larry David on Wednesday. And my friend wants to go. How about some tickets? I'm like, now you want to show up. Now dad's cool.
How old are your kids?
16 and 13.
Okay, so they're just starting to think that you're cool because their friends are wanting to go to the shows.
For the hookup, yeah.
Okay.
The first time I did the Tonight Show, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, and Miley Cyrus was on the show. And that was the first time that they were like, what does dad do?
Yeah.
Because before that, my wife would be like, put me on TV, like, oh, look, dad's on Conan. And they would just start like doing cartwheels in front of it. And trying to put SpongeBob on, that no interest,
right?
And but now, like, there's some hookups involved.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, now all of a sudden, dad's will say he's funny.
He's cool. Yeah,
I like making them laugh. That's like my wife. You know, we're in sync. I might be able to make her laugh. That's cool. But these kids who are kind of jaded and digesting other kinds of entertainment, that I can make them laugh, like really, like unguarded, like get something. That to me is really, that's fun.
Is it dad jokes or is it?
No.
You know, okay, good.
No.
Thank God. I was afraid. I'm like, sometimes you come across comedians where the second they have kids with their kids, it just turns into dad jokes. There's something in chemistry when a man, his wife has, you know, gives birth to their child, the dude's brain changes. He no longer knows how to be funny within his family.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? Another part of it, though, is that he's intentionally being annoying.
Being a nerd.
He's trying to be.
Yeah,
he's trying to get everybody to. That's the dad thing is, I know you guys. It's like the preemptive. I know you guys think I'm a nerd, so I'm just going to.
Make you roll
I'm going to beat you. Yeah.
No. So, did you hook up your daughter's friend with tickets?
It's a benefit.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to, yeah, I'll be performing on it. So I'll just bring them along.
That's awesome.
And then let them sit in the audience.
Do you ever, if you were going to ask for a hookup to a show yourself for either a concert or comedian, any type of show, what would you call and ask for a hookup to?
Wow, that's a good question. There was when Springsteen was on Broadway, everyone, I'm like a moderate Springsteen fan. You know, I grew up in New Jersey, so you kind of have to be. And those were $2,000 a piece. Like, you couldn't get into this show any longer. And I started using a little showbiz to try and get into that show. And with the showbiz hookup, it was $1,200. And I didn't do it. I was like, this can't be worth it. And then they filmed it and put it on Netflix. And
you saved $1,200.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, I get it.
What would be worth $1,200? I can't,
I don't know.
I guess if you have enough money, it doesn't matter if it's worth it or not. You just want it. But you know, I think about on my budget, I can't think of something that would be worth
$1,200. I don't know. You know, I got tickets for my wife's birthday to see Jane Goodall in Vancouver.
Okay. How was that?
Great.
Yeah.
And, you know, normal price, whatever. Sure. It wasn't, you know, but it was so much better than anything I could. I'm sure it blew Springsteen away.
Yeah.
Like, just seeing this woman at 80 years old, quiet, peaceful, no makeup, just gorgeous, intelligent, standing there just filled with spirit and just speaking quietly and moving 3,000 people. That was like, all right. So when you asked me the question, I'm trying to think what other people like that would be really worth going and seeing speak.
Like, when someone speaks and you just get the hair on your arm stands up because it's so moving.
Yeah. And so truthful.
That's rare.
So who else?
I saw Michelle Obama here in down in San Jose in, was it October?
Uh-huh.
And yeah, that's what it was like.
Powerful, right?
There's certain type of people that can take a stadium.
Yeah.
And just by telling their stories and speaking their truth can move the whole entire, everyone feels the same emotions. I can't wrap my head around that they're so gifted. And it's not like something there's training that goes into how to speak, but it's just who they are.
That's it. They've also lived a life.
Yeah.
And they have really something to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that thing when I'm performing stand up, there's you always want that laugh, and you want so many laughs. Like, I'll perform tonight for an hour straight and I'm packed with laughs. I want to move you and shake you and get the thing. But there is a part of me when you see these other people that we're talking about where it's like, but what if I were to just downshift a little bit and just be for a minute and not be so frantic? Like, it makes me think of maybe I'm pushing too hard at certain points.
Don't overthink it. You're doing something right.
It's kind of the gig, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But those people are they're just impressive. To see them. And then I've seen politicians who have been around forever, like Orrin Hatch in Utah. Mm-hmm. He was running for president, this is probably 12 years ago. This is a man who's a senator who's running for president of the United States. And he came to a Martin Luther King dinner in New York. And it was a bunch of comedians, and the owner of the Comedy Cellar at the time brought us along. The worst speaker you've ever seen in your life.
Really?
Like, a run-on sentence. This man could not read the room, was just droning on, and the comedians, Patrice O'Neill, I don't know if you remember. Patrice O'Neill is just looking around what?
Who booked this guy?
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there are people that are in those positions that you think, oh, maybe he does have something to say. Nothing. So bad. So awful.
It's such a disappointment, too, because you have these expectations just because of the title or the position they hold that they'll be able to capture the room.
And nothing. Which then exposes him, really.
Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, you know what? He really doesn't have much to say because he's just the crafty politician part of it.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't live that Jane Goodall life. He doesn't have that experience.
Yeah.
Right? So it kind of falls flat.
Well, he certainly didn't have the gift. You, though, have a fantastic gift for comedy. I mean, you've got...
Thank you.
I don't want to get this wrong. Is it a Netflix series? You have an hour-long stand-up on Netflix? On
Netflix and one on Amazon.
And, that was it, the one I just saw.
Yeah, I just posted yesterday.
That was it.
They're doing some promotion. If you... Amazon Prime, you can watch my Freaked Out special.
I'm going to watch that because I'm Amazon obsessed. So anything that comes out on Amazon. Well, I have Netflix too, and I have all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm partial to Amazon for some reason. I think it's because it's ingrained in my brain because I'm always like on Amazon.
I know, me too. But do you find like, is it easy to watch stuff for you on Amazon? Like you're keyed in and do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
because some people have a hard time navigating. If they don't know Amazon, does it work?
It's just like, what do I have? I have a Roku.
I
just have all the apps. I have the Hulu, the Netflix, the Amazon, all the apps up there.
Yeah.
So I just switch inputs on my TV and I can easily navigate anything I want. But it gets complicated if people don't have that type of device and you have to watch it on your computer. You're not really sure.
Right. And then you're...
But everything nowadays is so easy to consume.
I know.
Actually, Gmo and I talked about this today on the show. There's too many subscriptions. Disney just came out with one.
I know.
And I'm like,
yeah, well, now I'm going to have to pay that too.
Yeah, I'm like, all these different platforms, I'm paying $12 a month for each of them. Now I'm paying more than I paid for cable.
I know. Did you stop cable?
No, I still have it.
I do too.
But it's gotten better. So now it's competitive with the streaming services because you can do all the... So I have Xfinity here in the Bay Area. And I hold down my little button on my remote and I just say Netflix. And Xfinity loops in my Netflix. And I can watch it directly through the cable company.
Right, which feels more like TV.
Yeah, or I can just push a little button and say whatever movie I want and it'll pop up on the screen and tell me if I can watch it on demand or on a recorded
right.
When it's like it's
that's what
easier.
You need. Yeah, you
it's
need somebody
easier.
You need like the grown up to kind of organize it for us and make it
2 years ago it was different. So when all the things everyone was cutting the cord 2 years ago, it was because the streaming services were making things easier and cheaper.
Right.
Cable caught up real quick.
Yeah.
And they started making things easier. Because now that I can watch my Netflix within my cable.
Yeah.
There's no point in not having both.
Yeah.
It's just simpler. But I, you know, Amazon Prime is a fun one.
Yeah. Whenever like I'm going to do my next special and we're trying to figure out like, do we do Netflix? And it kind of doesn't matter. It's like you just do it and then put it up and it's like all ending up in the same place inevitably.
I feel like Netflix is one of the best places for comedy.
Yeah.
You know, because they have them featured still... at the top of the page. So when I'm looking for a comedy special, I'll go there and scroll.
Yeah. They're always pushing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you can see them on, I have one on Netflix now, one on Amazon. And then there's another one, I think is on Hulu, actually.
You're everywhere, man.
Yeah.
You got your footprint on all the platforms.
I know, right?
That's awesome.
If you stream, I'm going to fight. You're going to find my dumb head.
That's smart. They always say, like, diversify. You've got something everywhere that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Really excited for your show this weekend. Anything that we didn't cover that you want to get to before we end the podcast? You want to ask me any more personal questions?
Yeah. Are you dating this weekend?
No. So tonight I'm going to a benefit at the San Francisco Zoo with some...
Oh, nice.
I'm really excited. So I've only been in the Bay Area for under 2 years. Just over a year now. So I'm still like venturing out to places I haven't been.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm from LA originally.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, so I'm excited because an event like this...
Yeah.
I'm like, this is where I need to meet guys.
Yeah.
Animal lovers, people that support the zoo.
Yeah.
Friday night out in San Francisco, cocktails, like
a little money that they can pledge.
Yeah. So hopefully tonight,
this is a good one.
I'll meet someone and maybe tomorrow night I'll have a date from it.
All right. So I'm going to turn this back on you now.
Okay. Pressure's on.
Fluorescent thong.
Oh,
that's how you show up at the zoo.
And I got to go buy one.
And then they're like, oh, but she's also funny.
She's a little freaky. The key is a fluorescent thong that you can see through my dress.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That
intriguing.
Little tease.
Yeah.
We'll both wear fluorescent thongs this weekend for totally different reasons.
Yeah, see, let's report back and see how we did.
That's awesome. Tom Papa, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
You got it.